Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to look at a few of the verses in that chapter. Really, the whole chapter is a fascinating chapter as God sets forth the blessings and the curses that will accompany either obedience or disobedience to His commandments. And we might be looking at that and saying, well, that's the old law. That doesn't apply to us today. Well, maybe these specific things don't. They were for the children of Israel. But we can get the idea from them. The same God that wrote these things is the God that we worship today. And He still has blessings for those that obey Him and curses for those who disobey Him. And this goes hand in hand with the study of Revelation that we are doing on Wednesday night. This is talking about the physical nation of Israel. We today, the church, are the spiritual nation of Israel. We're not a physical nation with boundaries that can be drawn on a map and with a ruler and a king and a government and roads and houses and things of that nature. We're a spiritual kingdom. Each of us is a building block in the temple of God. We're living stones, the Bible tells us. So we see the contrast between the physical nation of Israel and the spiritual nation that we are today. But regardless of the differences, there are some similarities. We are still God's chosen people. We are still God's chosen people, and He will bless us if we will continue to be His people. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're just going to look at blessings because we're continuing this morning on our lesson, blessed. Blessed things and people that are blessed in the Bible. We talked last time, which was 2 weeks ago, we had studied together about women and men, specifically named in the Bible as being blessed. We looked at six of each of those. And now we're going to look at more specifically things that would apply to us. We're going to start with this in Deuteronomy. Verse 1 says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Notice the first step. Hearken diligently. We have to listen carefully. My dad had a bad habit. May still have it. I don't know. When my mother would send him off to the store, she'd say, "Honey, I need you to go to the store to get such and such for me." Before she'd finish telling him what she needed him to get, he'd say, "Okay, I know, I know," and he'd be out the door. Well, invariably, he would come back with some of the things that she wanted, but he would have forgotten a couple. She was going to write him a list to send with him, but he would, he was gone. That's the way we are with God a lot of times. He's got all of these things for us, and He said, "This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to behave. This is how I want you to conduct yourselves. These are things I want you to speak, and these things I don't want you to." All these things. But we so many times say, "Oh yeah, I know. And we go on with our lives. First step is to hearken diligently. Listen carefully. We need to be sure that we understand what's being told. And so that's the first step. The second step then is to observe, still in verse 1, to observe and to do all His commandments. The key word there is all. There are many of us, even in the church, that want to skip a few. We see one that we don't particularly like, or one that would mean a lot of extra effort we would have to put out. And so we say, "Well, you know, I'll do these others. They're easier." God tells the children of Israel, under physical Israel, says you better do all and observe and do all. Which I command thee this day. Jesus said basically the same thing to His apostles when He sent them out on the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Just turn over there momentarily. Matthew chapter 28. therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Notice verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So, the same God, Old Testament, New Testament, still the same God, he still expects complete and total obedience to all his commands. And Jesus makes it clear that we are to observe all things that he has commanded us. Now that says something about all these people that are running around saying, just believe in God and everything will be okay, doesn't it? Jesus said, observe all the things I've commanded you. Do it all. And yet these people say, well, you know, as long as we love Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. All these people running around hollering, I love Jesus, and they're not obeying his commandments. They don't love Jesus. They love their own fictionalized version of what they think Jesus is. They don't love Jesus. If they love Jesus, they will keep all his commandments just like Jesus commanded us to do. So we see again the parallel, how similar the Old and New Covenants are. Even though the New Covenant is a law of grace and mercy, and the Old Covenant was a law of laws and commandments, and there was no mercy. There's several times in the Old Testament where God even says, when he places a punishment on a particular action, he tells the children of Israel, have no mercy. Under the New Testament, we have mercy. But the underlying fundamentals of the two laws are still the same because they were written by the same God. So we see that. Then he says, if we do this, if we listen diligently, listen carefully, hearken, and observe all his commandments, then the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Now certainly this again, written to physical Israel, and God did do that. While they were worshiping him correctly and following his word and serving him, he blessed them. They became one of the richest nations in the history of the world. During the time of Solomon, the kingdom was so great that people traveled thousands of miles to come. Queen of Sheba, you might remember, came to marvel at the wonders. And again, during the time of Hezekiah, you realize that during the time of Hezekiah, the city of Jerusalem had run upon. Now, some of you can remember times here in Alabama when you didn't have running water. Almost 3,000 years ago, God blessed these people, and he set them above all the other nations of the world. Well, he makes that same promise to us today as Christians, but not as a nation physically on earth. But he tells us that we're a holy priesthood, chosen people, peculiar people. We're special to him. The Bible also tells us that Christ has blessed us, and that God has blessed us with all blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So even though the law is different, because of the old law, still the principle remains that God blesses us through listening. Listen to some of the blessings he was going to give the children of Israel. Verse 2 he says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. He keeps making this a conditional thing, doesn't he? If you hearken to the voice of the Lord. If you observe and do all the commandments, there's always an if. The same thing is true today. There are many who talk about, once you're saved, you're always saved. Well, no. Our very next lesson in our Sunday morning class book, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If you do these things, as long as we remain faithful to God, no, we won't fall. But we can become unfaithful. But again, he says, if you do these things, all these blessings. Well, let's look at what these blessings are. He says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. So, the things that they do in the city are going to be blessed. Mentioned already how Hezekiah had running water. This is a blessing, I'm sure. shalt thou be in the field? Oh, the children of Israel's crops that grew in their fields would be abundant as long as they were being obedient to God. But do you remember when Ahab was king and he had turned people's hearts away from God to worship idols, to worship Baal? There was a drought. The crops failed. God makes the same promise. He doesn't promise to us that we'll be rich. Although most of us, as we learned from Brother G when he came on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, we are rich compared to the rest of the world. The poorest people in the United States, the 20%, lowest 20% of income in the United States, makes more than anyone, almost anyone, in all of the third world countries. Makes more, if you make between $5,000 and $7,000 a year, you make more than most people in the country of Greece, Venezuela. And those aren't even third world countries. Those are not considered, Greece isn't even considered a poor country. And yet, if you just make $5,000 to $7,000 a year, most Americans make more than that. But look at the blessings that God has blessed us with. He doesn't make that promise. What he promises us is that if we seek his kingdom first, then he'll give us what? Not lots of money, no. He'll give us the things we need. Not everything we want, but everything we need. When was the last time one of us had to go to bed hungry because we couldn't get any food? Even if we were in bad shape, most of us have somebody that we can say, look, I'm really in bad shape. I need help. Most of us know somebody else sitting in this auditorium that we can help. Those blessings we have as Christians. He goes on, verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. So their children, their offspring, would be blessed. Still today, any who have grown up in a Christian home know what a blessing it is to have come from Christian parents. Those of you who are Christian parents, what a blessing you're giving to your children. They may not always hearken to you. They may not always do just what you want them to. They may not always turn out as well as you would hope. But they have a much better chance than those whose parents don't love them. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy vine, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, in other words, cows, and the flocks of thy sheep. So basically, everything they do is going to prosper and be blessed as long as they're serving God. He goes on to say, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Isn't it wonderful to have a God who's watching over us all the time? It doesn't matter if we're coming in or going out. He's still there. You know, many of the gods of the other nations in the Old Testament, they might have a god of the hills, and a god of the valleys, and a god of the plain, and they might have a god of the city, and a god of the country, and a god of the house, and a god of the street, and they had a god for everything. And so, it was a different god everywhere you went. Boy, if that god was angry at you up in the hills, you couldn't go safely up in the hills. You know, you might could go down in the valley if you had made a sacrifice to that god. What a pain that must have been to keep up with all of those different gods. But our God is the God of the hills and valleys, of the plains and cities, of the country, of the skies. He is the God over all. If we make him happy, he'll be with us wherever we can go. On the other hand, if we make him angry, there is nowhere we can go. The book of Revelation, speaking of the judgment day when it comes, hills and mountains, come and cover us. There won't be any place to hide. They'll be begging to get buried by a mountain to avoid God's wrath. There's no place to hide. God is everywhere. David, the psalmist, says it this way, if I descend into the depths of hell, thou art there. Now, the word translated hell there in the King James is actually the grave. It's not actually hell, because we know if God casts you into hell, then he will depart that way. His presence is not there. But in the grave, even if we die, God is still there. He still has power. He still has dominion. Let's finish up quickly. The Lord shall cause mine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself. See? Same terminology used here in the Old Testament is used in the New Testament to describe us. Holy people. And he shall bless thee as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Again, he puts the condition on it. It's not just a no matter what. You can't spit in God's eye and expect him to still treat you right. But if you walk in his way, he'll be there no matter what happens. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. You know, people today are afraid of the truth. They're afraid of the church because we teach the truth. The homosexuals, the abortion industry, they fear us worse than death. Because we're teaching the truth. Those that are living sinful lives, when they see you coming, they run the other way because they don't want you to tell them what they're doing wrong. They're drinking their beers, they hide them. They don't want us to see what they're doing. Somebody sleeping around, they do everything they can to hide it sometimes. People are afraid. Why? We're not going to hurt them. No, we're not going to hurt them. But they don't want to face the truth. All the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and shall be afraid. And he goes on, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous and good in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land, bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. That same commandment holds true today. We need not to harbor his words to the right, which means finding things that he hasn't found, or to the left, which means allowing things that he has not allowed. There are many, many dangers on both those roads. Certainly, the biggest is God's blessing will be with us if we mark his path. I'm going to go back for just 1 second and close with verse 7. The Lord shall cause mine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. There's something that the psalmist says in many of his psalms, something that he prays for, that we don't pray for it. At least not very often. Not as much as we should. We need to pray. against somebody. I'll tell you, they're enemies of God, enemies. And we need to be praying that God will work in open cups and use us to do that. Help us. There are many, many enemies of the cross. There are the enemies of the cross that try to demand that we be saved by our own good works. They deny the grace that is for us. There are enemies of the cross that try to say, the cross itself saved us and there's nothing that we have to do. There are many enemies of the cross who are enemies of the cross because they don't even believe Jesus died on the cross. There are many enemies that we face today. But the promise is that if we will serve God, they may come at us. They may all group together and come at us. He says, verse 7, that they will come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The enemies of the cross can't stand against God. We need to have faith in Him, trust in Him, take care of that for us. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, you're not one of God's chosen people. If you haven't obeyed His command to repent, and to confess Jesus' name, to be buried with Him in baptism, if you haven't obeyed those commands, you haven't obeyed all that Jesus taught. You need to do that today. If you're here and you are a Christian, you've done all that, but perhaps you have stepped out of the path, either to the right or to the left. You too may need to respond to the invitation that is to stand.